Today, forget seeking certainty. Suddenly, the Fed's urge to cut rates evaporates. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update, where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, and cover crypto and commodities on the way. My earlier call of enhanced market volatility proved correct, as a gauge of global stocks took its biggest weekly drop in 2 months, driven by market euphoria after the Trump win now turning, as the implications in terms of tariffs and staff appointments sink in, and as trading profits are made. MSCI's gauge of stocks across the globe lost 1.11% to 842.61 for its fourth straight decline, following five straight advances. And in Europe, the Stoxx 600 index closed down 0.77% on the day and down 0.69% across the week. The 10-year US Treasury yield hit its highest level in 5.5 months on Friday, as economic data and comments from Federal Reserve officials indicated a slower pace for interest rate cuts ahead. Fed Chair Jerome Powell said on Thursday that the central bank did not need to rush to lower interest rates due to ongoing economic growth, a solid job market, and inflation that remains above its 2% target. If the data doesn't allow them to do a cut in December, then they're going to take their time. And this is actually quite a pivot. Remember, they started cutting the interest rates with a 50 basis point cut in September, driven by fears that the US jobs market would deteriorate quickly, and then added another layer of 25 basis points last week. But maybe the plans have changed after Trump's election on rising inflation risks due to pro-growth policies and tariffs. And beyond Trump, the inflation data released this week wasn't that encouraging either. The US headline inflation rebounded from 2.4 to 2.6%, pretty much in line with market expectations, while yesterday surprised to the upside, with both headline and PPI data printing figures above the market expectations. The Labour Department said on Friday that import prices unexpectedly rose 0.3% last month after an unrevised 0.4% decline in September amid higher prices for fuels and other goods. Analysts have been expecting a decline of 0.1%. The US Commerce Department on Friday also reported that retail sales rose 0.4% last month after an upwardly revised 0.8% advance in September. The growth topped the 0.3% rise expected by economists after a previously reported 0.4% gain in September. And in addition, the initial jobless claims came in lower than expected, indicating the economy remains strong. All in all, the Fed is realizing that cutting rates hurriedly was not a brilliant idea. And the first thing to do now is to, well, do nothing in December. The probability of a December cut went from 60 to 80% and is now back around 60% and falling in the aftermath of this week's data comments. In a note, Evercore ISI's Krishna Guha said, "We think the looming Trump presidency is helping to drive a change in tone from the Fed, including Powell, towards a warier and more hedged posture on the pace and extent of future cuts, even as the basic strategy of recalibrating down to a more neutral setting remains unchanged. We think this shift is only one part hawkish to two parts more uncertain, but both have implications for markets." On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.77% to 43,444. The S&P 500 fell 1.51% to 5,870. And the NASDAQ Composite fell 2.54% to 18,678. Remember that each of those major market indices had closed at record highs on Monday. The retreat in US equities is broad, though they paired some losses in the final hour. 8 of the 11 industry sectors were paced lower by a 2.5% drop in information technology. The NYSE FANG Plus Index slumped 2.71%, dragged down by Amazon, Meta, and Nvidia. And US firm Applied Materials forecast first quarter revenue below estimates, a sign of sluggish demand for the chip-making equipment maker outside of AI-powered chips. It dropped 9.2%. Makers of vaccines, including Moderna and Pfizer, fell on the news that Trump wants Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as head of the US Department of Health and Human Services. Kennedy has called vaccines a crime against humanity. The US 2-year yield consolidated near 4.3%, while the 10-year yield has flirted with 4.5%, with Treasury skeptics eyeing an easy advance to the 5% mark, and the US dollar index extended gains to the highest levels in more than a year, supported by this hawkish shift in Fed expectations. The DXY, which tracks the US currency against peers, including the euro and the Japanese yen, was at 106.67. Other Fed officials in comments on Friday also clouded the picture on the timing and magnitude of more rate cuts. For example, Federal Reserve Bank of Boston President Susan Collins said in an interview in the Wall Street Journal that another rate cut in December was on the table, but it was not a done deal. Bond yields and the dollar have surged not just on growth prospects, but also on concerns that Trump's policies may rekindle inflation after a long battle against price pressures following the COVID-19 pandemic. In addition, tariffs could lead to increased government borrowing, further ballooning the fiscal deficit and potentially causing the Fed to alter its course of monetary policy easing. US crude fell 2.2% to $66.96 a barrel, and Brent fell to $71.04 per barrel, down 1.93% on the day and down across the week, as investors digested that slower Fed rate cut path and waning Chinese demand. In fact, economic data released earlier in the session painted an uncertain picture for the Chinese economy, while the numbers also indicated that China's oil refiners in October processed 4.6% less crude than a year earlier, falling year on year for a seventh month. And prices were also rattled by a cut in OPEC's demand outlook this week, while US oil inventories grew nearly 1.2 million barrels in the week to November the 8th, pushing up concerns over a supply glut, especially as US production remains close to record highs of over 13 million barrels per day. Gold futures slid again to $2,570 per ounce, down across the week by 4.63%, but it's still up 24% for the year. And silver also went lower to $30.33 and is down more than 3% in the past week. Safe havens aren't what they were, perhaps. The change in vibes from the US hit European shares too, as investors fretted over US-China relations after Trump was expected to tap a China hawk to be his Secretary of State. The Pan-European Stoxx 600 index dropped 0.77%, trading just above a three-month low earlier in the week. The technology sub-index dropped 2.7%, with chipmaker ASML among top decliners, reacting to the weak AMAT forecasts. European pharmaceutical companies fell on Friday after Trump picked Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Novo Nordisk fell 5.3%, while Sanofi shed 3.3% and GSK lost 3.9%. The Swiss benchmark, which houses the bulk of European healthcare firms, declined 1.3%. Bavarian Nordac slid 17.4% after the Danish biotech firm posted a lower than expected core profit for the third quarter. 2025 orders are below expectations. And meanwhile, Russian Gazprom told Austria that it is suspending gas deliveries from Saturday, a gas flow monitoring platform reported, in a development that could signal the end of the last Russian gas supplies to Europe. Austria is one of the few European countries still dependent on Russian gas, as much of the rest of the continent has reduced imports following Moscow's invasion of Ukraine in 2022. Evotech jumped 21% after Hazothyme Therapeutics said that it proposed to buy the German drug developer for about 2 billion euros. Generali advanced 4.8% after Italy's top insurer beat estimates for nine-month profits despite a 930 million euro hit from natural disasters. All up, the DAX index in Germany traded 0.27% lower, the CAC 40 in France fell 0.58%, and the FTSE in London dropped 0.09%. The euro US dollar tippetoed below the Chile 1.05 level yesterday on the back of a stronger dollar and a 2% decline in Eurozone's industrial production, but it rebounded to 105.40 as the market hasn't yet digested the idea that the Euro-US dollar, which was testing the 110 offers 6 weeks ago, is now diving below the 1.05 mark. But once the information is digested, the move could certainly materialise. There is a louder call for a 50 basis point cut in December from the European Central Bank, and even some talking about a 75 basis point cut, but I don't think that's likely. Britain's economy contracted unexpectedly in September, according to data released on Friday, as gross domestic product slipped by 0.1% in monthly terms during September. For the third quarter as a whole, the economy grew by 0.1%, slowing from 0.5% growth during the second quarter and below the 0.2% expansion the Bank of England had forecast. This is very much on the back of speculation surrounding the budget, which of course put a brake on expectations of growth in many areas. This follows data released on Thursday showing that the Eurozone grew by only 0.4% in the third quarter, with the bloc's largest component, the German economy, particularly weak. Additionally, consumer prices in France, the Eurozone's second biggest economy, rose 1.6% year on year in October, revising slightly up its preliminary reading of 1.5%, which was published last month. The pound US dollar was unchanged at 1.26, while the euro pound was at 0.8352. Most Asian stocks kept to a tight range on Friday amid increased caution over US interest rate cuts, while investors digested mixed economic readings from Japan and China, but then took weak cues from Wall Street after those Federal Reserve comments. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite Indices both fell, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index traded marginally higher after a mixed batch of economic readings from the mainland. Chinese industrial production rose less than expected in October, as did fixed asset investments. House prices also shrank during the month, signalling continued pressure on the property market, but retail sales grew more quickly than expected, buoyed largely by the Golden Week holiday. The reading pushed up some hopes that retail spending will improve further, especially as Beijing mobilizes more stimulus. Chinese stock indices lost around 3% this week, while the Hang Seng was down over 6%. Losses came as China's latest round of fiscal measures largely underwhelmed investors hoping for more targeted measures. Fears of a renewed trade war with the US also weighed after Donald Trump won the presidential election. Japan's Nikkei 225 and Topic indices rose 0.35 and 0.3% respectively, largely shrugging off data that showed economic growth slowed sharply in the third quarter. Gross domestic product grew 0.9% year on year, slightly beating expectations but slowing sharply from the 2.2% rise in the prior quarter, which was also revised lower. Private consumption remains heady and was the sole point of support for the economy, especially as capital spending and foreign demand slowed. Strong yen had also weighed on Japanese exporters, though through the quarter, although the currency has since weakened sharply. The weak reading pushed up hopes that the Bank of Japan will have little headroom to raise interest rates further, especially in the face of increased political uncertainty. Elsewhere, Nissan Motor shares closed 4.46% up after Japan's Diamond Online magazine reported that activist investor Oasis Management had taken a stake in the automaker. Nissan had also jumped on Tuesday after a filing showed an entity related to activist Alpha Samoa Capital Management had taken a stake in the company. Nissan last week issued a profit warning and said it would slash 9,000 jobs and a fifth of its global manufacturing capacity amid a sales slump in its two biggest markets, China and the US. The stock is down 35% from its high this year. Against the Japanese yen, the dollar weakened 1.22% to 154.35. And broader Asian markets kept in a tight range as traders dialed back expectations of an imminent decrease in US interest rates. South Korea's KOSPI fell 0.5%, while India's Nifty 50 slid again by 0.11%, having reached correction territory from its September record highs. Indian markets were battered by sustained foreign capital outflows as optimism over the economy was dulled by sticky inflation. In Australia, the benchmark ASX 200 index rose 0.7% to 8,285 at the closing bell, buoyed by 10 out of 11 sectors. The gauge notched a weekly loss of 0.1%, while the All Ords added 0.7% on the day. A 2.5% rally in APA Group led the wider utility sector higher. The shares closed at $6.98 apiece after the company maintained its full-year earnings guidance above the prior year and reported revenue of $256.4 million in the first quarter. That's up from $237.6 million in the prior quarter. Elsewhere in the sector, Origin climbed 2.4% to $10.39 and AGL rose 2.3% to $10.70. All the major banks were in the green. The index heavyweight CBA added 1.5% to 155.13. Westpac rose 1.9% to $33.06. NZ jumped 2.6% to $30.45. And National Australia Bank firmed 1.3% to $39.22. Macquarie was at $229.51. In corporate news, ASX Limited added 0.7% to $66.22 after the market operator hit back at the corporate regulator and mounted a strident defence to ASIC's claims that it misled the market in February 2022 about the stages of its clearing and settlement system upgrade before the project collapsed later that year. Lendlease rallied 2.7% to $6.82 after Chief Executive Tony Lombardo said that the company would launch a $500 million share buyback in the near term, providing it could sell certain assets. It was actually one of the best performing stocks on the ASX 200 on Friday. The Aussie was down 1.81% across the week against the US dollar to 64.62 cents and up 0.52% against the UK pound to 51.20 cents. Crypto markets have been on the up, with Bitcoin up 35% in the past month and 18.76% in just the past week. The crypto markets, though, fell after Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell said on Thursday that the central bank is not in a hurry to cut those interest rates. Having dipped, it was last at 91,246 US, off from its Wednesday high of 93,465, dragging other cryptocurrencies with it and liquidating many long bets in the process. So here we are, facing considerable uncertainty as we head into the tail end of the year. The Santa rally probably has already passed, and it is likely that we're going to go sideways, bearing in mind that Trump doesn't really grasp power until early next year. But meantime, threats are everywhere and valuations are extended. Therefore, expect more volatility and potentially more weakness. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.